Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and I am here with my good friend and our good gardener. Hi, Lance.
Good evening. How are you?
Lance Swaggart in the house, continuing the pruning discussion.
Yeah. It's ongoing.
It is ongoing tonight, and we had some great calls last week, and I want to encourage everybody to go to their phones, 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. Jeff is in the control room ready to take your call, and Lance is here ready to chat you up and answer your question.
Yeah.
And I tell you what. What do you think? March is going to come in like a lion or a lamb? What's your guess?
Well, it's going to be cold tomorrow.
It's going to be cold. Yeah, somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Purring lamb, maybe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's cold out there. And do you have that winter over spinach covered?
No, I will if I'm hoping the snow stayed on it.
Yeah, there you go.
I took the tarps off because it was going to snow. And wet tarps are almost worthless.
Yeah, so let the snow insulate.
I'll go back after this show and see if they need to be covered or not. I picked a couple bags yesterday.
Oh, nice. Wow, yeah. That is the amazing crop of the year. The gift that keeps on giving.
Yes.
And that's what I love about gardening is you're growing your own food, and that is empowering. But tonight we're talking about pruning, and we got into stone fruit a little mm-hmm. bit last week, and then we got sidetracked on a lot of good lilac discussion.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah, and great stuff. Great stuff.
Lilacs are probably one of the most neglected shrubs around.
You can pretty much let them just go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there actually is a technique, as we found out.
Right. So we're here to answer any of your questions on pruning, 527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. Last week, we talked about kind of the order you want to go in as you get ready to mm-hmm. prune your stone fruit, and you're going to start out with your apricots.
I'm going to start out with the apricots, and then I'm going to do as I go through my place, some are, because my trees are all mixed up, as far as they're not a block of apricots and a block of plums and a block of apples, they're all interspersed.
Right.
So I've done the apples and pears.
Apples and pears are done. Okay.
And then now I'm doing the apricots and plums.
Okay. Apricots and plums. We didn't talk about plums last week. Is there anything special?
Sometimes they do a lot of spurs, just these big clusters, and they will actually bear fruit on those. But you want to still thin them some. And again, the ones that are going to, the fruiting wood on a plums are that succulent new growth from our last year's growth.
Right.
And that's going to do your best. Like I had a Santa Rosa plum, and I pruned everything down to just one shoot on every wherever they're coming down. I actually pruned them down to, and hopefully that will force a new shoot for next year.
Next year's fruit. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you went to town on it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And still, I was on top of, well, not as high as you can go on a 10-foot ladder, and I was almost too far.
Oh,
so
wow.
So I brought it back down, because that's
getting up there.
I have a 10-foot ladder, and I don't want to go any higher.
High anxiety. Yeah, well, we're glad you're here tonight.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of your rule of thumb with stone fruit is go after it. Prune hard.
You prune them hard. Peaches, apricots, plums, cherries. And, well, you prune them hard so that they produce fruit evenly.
Okay.
And also, it's to produce new growth for next year. And the peaches and plums and apricots, if you don't force them to make new growth, they won't do it. And then once it gets a woody trunk or bark on it, it's even more difficult. They just, like an apple tree, you can practically cut it to the ground and it'll send new shoots up. In fact, I did it because last year, because I had a fire of light in Gala apple.
Okay.
And now I have a 3-foot tree on there now. And I did it also on a Flemish Beauty pear. And
wow.
Again, I let the suckers come up. I thinned those and pruned them. And actually, those suckers can be relatively weak. So I actually staked them.
So you cut the fire blight out. And
I cut the whole tree down.
Cut the whole tree down to get rid of the fire blight.
Yeah, I cut below the fire blight. The gala was about 8 inches high, 10 inches high, and the pear was maybe 12 inches. And I cut them right off and let the suckers come.
And stake the suckers up, and now you've got a 3-foot tree, did you say, with the apple?
Yeah, you got to be – the only thing you have to watch for is if those suckers are coming down from below the root, the graft. And there's a rootstock on there.
Oh, right.
And the rootstock is totally different than the fruit part of it.
So you're going to watch the bottom of the tree?
Yeah, and you see if it comes up too low, if those suckers come up too low. I was just visiting with a friend, and she had some suckers that I said, look at these pears. See how they're pointed and sharp and needle-like? That's the rootstock. Cut those out.
Oh, so that's what you want to go out. Yeah. Get rid of the rootstock.
Well, the suckers from the rootstock.
The suckers from the rootstock.
Yeah.
Okay, and so we learned that last week, and that's important that you want that new growth, that supple growth. That's where you're going to get.
That's where you're going to get your fruit, your best bloom. And again, if you hadn't thinned last year, you're not going to have much fruit this year.
Right.
Even if it doesn't freeze, you'll have some, but you won't have much because the tree spent most of its energy making fruit, ripening fruit last year.
And not putting out new growth.
Well, it couldn't because it had all this energy.
Right. Yeah, and that was hard to thin last year. I think we talked about that, just such an abundance.
Yeah.
But there's opportunity this year. Good deal. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm going to get the phone numbers again, 527-486-8166-KVNF. Now, last week we talked about the importance of sharp tools, and you wanted to add something to that.
Oh, yes. I wanted to add also to sterilize pruners. All of your tools in between. If you're dealing with fire blight on apples or pears, you need to do it after every cut. Every time you cut an infected branch off, and you're cutting sometimes 6 to 8 inches below the fire blight, you're going to have to sterilize your pruners. And best is bleach water, maybe 10 to 1, one part bleach, 10 parts water.
Okay, so just have a little bucket there that you stick it in?
No, I actually have a sprayer.
Oh, okay.
Like a kitchen or household sprayer, and that's what I use.
And you just spray
it? And I hang the thing in the tree as I'm working.
There you go.
It's in the tree with me. And also, you can use, for lesser things, you could use rubbing alcohol. That works, too.
Rubbing alcohol with water?
Just straight rubbing alcohol. And I have both of them. I have both of them in the car.
And preference on it? Does it matter? Size of the bush?
The bleach is what you really want to use for the fire blight. It's much stronger.
Right.
The only problem with the bleach, it makes your pruners rust a little bit more.
Oh, okay.
You know, so make sure you oil it. Or I've been spraying after a day of that or something. When I go home, I spray the pruners with just even WD-40.
Uh-huh, to keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, taking good care of your tools that can last you a lifetime. And now we don't need to do that with just regular pruning. That's a fire blight situation. But you do recommend sterilizing before you go to another tree or you don't want to carry disease, I guess.
Yeah. So if you're going from one tree, from an apple tree to the next apple tree, and the next apple tree, if you want to spray your tools in between each tree, it will prevent, because who knows, they might have something on them.
Right.
You know, and same with peaches to peaches to peaches, or, you know, all your stone fruit can get gamosa of some sort, other trees, so you want to spray them.
Spray your tools.
Yeah, in between trees. That's the minimum.
Okay, keep them sharp and keep them clean. What do you do with that chainsaw? Because I know you've been chainsawing out there lately.
No, I'm not. I took an Italian prune plum out. So, yes, I did. I did use the chainsaw.
Well, if Lulu were here, she'd be proud because you know how she likes to get those tools out and just go after it. So. Yeah. All right, 527-486-8166-KVNF now. Stone fruits on last year's growth. Remember that, right?
Yeah, and even apples and pears, last year's growth does the best.
Okay.
It does bloom on older stuff, but the last year's growth is what you really will get the best fruit.
Okay, so get out there. All right, what about, we talked last week about that collar that's mm-hmm. on the plant. And then there's also something that you want to watch for, and I think this is in the trees as maybe well as the flowering bushes, but the crotch.
Yeah, there's a weak crotch.
Okay, what's that?
And that's when a branch splits in two, or forks is more the correct name. And if it's less than 45 degrees, it's weak. It can actually split right off. And so you got to take one or the other off. You got to take at least one. And you sometimes can tell that it was the central leader or of that branch. Mm-hmm. That's the one you're going to want to leave. Or if it's sort of on an angle, the lower one you're going to take off. Because what will happen is if that gets any weight on it, fruit-wise, or say we get a late or early snowstorm, wet snow, that branch will break. It'll split in half.
Right. So take off the weak part that's inevitably going to...
It's going to go anyways.
Right. So watch for that.
Mm-hmm. And the collar, there will be a collar right down, evenly, right down the middle. So just leave that collar if you can so that will heal up the cut.
Okay. So you're looking for both those things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Look for the crotch to prune and then watch for the collar.
Yeah.
And that collar is the thing that helps the branch heal.
Heal. Yes. So you got to leave that in there. And what else was I going to say? Something just popped in mind. We'll keep on going.
Okay. you had some fabulous photos. I just want to bring those up of some cordon pears where special kind of pruning training, I guess,
training
that they did. What's that about?
That's that was in the large estates of Europe.
Uh-huh.
And I can be done anywhere. And they prune them in such a way that, well, the ones we saw were one was straight up and one, and they were pears. And the other one was actually on a diagonal.
Right.
And it was quite picturesque. And it was on walls. It wasn't on a fence, wasn't on a trellis or anything. And they would prune these. And they would get sometimes in that kind of pruning, you can get a lot more fruit.
Uh-huh.
Off
looked
of that.
Like there was a
because they're
quite a bit of
they're
fruit.
Trying to develop spurs, and the spurs on those guys are what produce the most.
Mm-hmm.
And also you get protection from the walls there. So and also those walls were probably also on the outside was the barrier. They have their private gardens.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it kept out the animals and whatever.
Right. But gorgeous, and it's kind of taking pruning to a different level.
Mm-hmm.
Also that espalier.
Mm-hmm. And you see that in small villages where there's not much room in the small towns.
Okay.
Especially. It's artistic. You can do it in anywhere, but they would do it on their – they don't have much space, and they would do it on their walls of their houses, you know, mainly. And it's really quite pretty. And those are on a trellis, those. Those are actually – you let that central leader, and then you take branches, go horizontal, and then mm-hmm. keep on growing. And it might be three or four. I've seen them 20 feet high
oh,
on a
goodness.
Wall.
Wow.
You know, in the upper store, you open up the windows and you pick your fruit.
Wow. yeah, that's amazing. It's mm-hmm. just this wall of fruit. It's quite gorgeous.
Yeah.
Pretty inventive. You know, there's someone here, Ryan, in town, the guy that runs the community garden that does all of those shapes and fabulous sculptures with branches and things. It sounds like something right up his
Yeah, you could do it. If you
his alley the, right over there.
Yeah. If you take your time and you might on I help some people do the start of one. It was at a Gala Apple,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're doing espalier, not cordon.
Trellis-wise.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and we started that. And you got to get it started, and you might have to wire it,
uh-huh.
you know, or tie it in place, you know, because those...
Definitely.
You know,
you're training them.
Yeah. yeah, plums do really good in there.
All right.
You know, and of course, that you were using the pears for cordons, you know, but you can do apples or... I haven't heard of stone fruit doing that.
Hmm,
and I've never heard of apricots or peaches, but plums, apples, and pears I have.
All right. Great thing to try in your garden. 527-486-8166, KVNF now. We haven't talked about grapes or raspberries because that's down the line, right?
That's down the line. The grapes mm-hmm. will be done in this area about the first week of April, thereabouts.
Okay. About a month away.
Yeah. And... the raspberries, what I'll do is I just wait till they start growing. And then I can, you'll see the stuff that is wintered over and they have the old blooms on them that didn't make it to make raspberries. and you would cut those down to where the new shoots are coming out.
Okay.
And if the patch is a little thick, you would leave those thin those canes to about every 7 inches. And the reason why you're thinning them is so the new growth for the fall crop and the next year's spring crop will have a chance to grow.
All right. So about a month away, you're going to be out in the raspberry patch.
Yeah.
And what about grapes? Same thing.
Later, but it's technically, you know, it can, you know, if you have wine grapes or this grapes or, you know, stuff like that, it's a little bit different with wine grapes.
Okay.
And I'm not dealing with wine grapes. I'm dealing with table grapes. So
right.
I'm got, I forget what they call it, but I have the horizontals going out. And I along that whole horizontal, I'll prune everything down to just two buds. Okay. And if they're still too thick, I might take out every other one. But it's about two buds on each one. And each one of those buds will produce two clusters of grapes.
Okay.
So, you know, even though it's just one thing, you're going to get four clusters of grapes in one spot.
Nice.
Yeah. And so you have to prune them hard. They bloom on new growth. And you prune them hard like that. And again, if you don't, they get leggier and leggier. And they, what do I want to say, produce less and less.
Okay.
You really do have to prune them. You know, unless you want a gazebo or what are those called? Pergola.
Right.
You know,
right.
And you want it covered, you know, and you'll get some production off of that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're great as for shade.
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I look forward to talking about that and how to revive some old grapevines, mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah. Thinking of this, if anybody has ever been out to Hearst Castle in California, in Cambria, and they have this grape trellis that's surrounding the entire building part of it. And it was built high enough so that you could ride your horse underneath it and pick grapes while you're riding the horses.
Well, lovely.
So it was technically 10 feet high or more.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, it was really quite beautiful.
Yeah, some of these big gardens, like with these giant walls of pears and grapevines you can ride your horse under.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. We do have time for a caller, 527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. We want to talk a little bit about flowering bushes.
Yeah, we can talk about flowering bushes. Just one little thing we're going to mention. This is in planting, if you're going to plant.
Yeah.
Is trees, keep them away. Unless you're going to do espalier or cordons, mm-hmm. keep them away 12 feet or more, 12 to 15 feet away from walls or fences.
Okay.
So you can prune them, work around them, mow them if you've got a lawn underneath
right.
them.
Right. Give yourself some room to move.
There's some apples at this one place I've pruned for several years, and they're right up on a fence, chain link fence, and the other side of the fence is a gravel driveway. And they keep on asking me why the trees aren't doing well. I says, well, you're not watering half of them. Half the root system is over there underneath that gravel, and they're
right.
dying from drought. So anyways, that's just something that happens. And
watch, you know, where you place them, and you want to be able to get between that fence and the plant.
The trees were already in that position when they bought the house, so
mm-hmm.
they couldn't do anything. But that's what you need to keep them away from those things.
Okay. All right. Placing your plants, and we have Jeff in Paonia on the line. Good evening, Jeff.
Hey, good evening. Great show as always. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Jeff. What's going on tonight?
Well, in terms of pruning, you know, we're pretty much wrapped up, but now we're going to start picking prunings up. And I realized something yesterday. We came back through with like a chisel ripper in the orchard, and it was a great way to like get rid of the final brush, as well as kind of prepare the ground for compost or, you know, more moisture or whatever. So it's just more of a comment than a question. But
now, Jeff, are you down at Delicious Orchards?
Yes.
Okay, so you got a nice orchard down there,
mm-hmm.
and you're through with pruning.
Correct. And now I'm kind of getting ready to apply fertilizer, you know, compost. And it seemed like we were just able to kind of take care of two things with one with one job in the orchard, and that was removing the final brush and preparing the ground for compost.
Wow.
Early spring.
Uh-huh.
All right, so kind of keeping it clean,
cleaning
the brush up. And
now, were you trying to take all the brush out or just?
No, we came through first with a big rake.
Brush rake, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess more of my point is I think it's a great time to start getting compost ready to go out because the ground's going to be really open to it. And it's a good time to be getting ready for sure. So thank you.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
Super. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the call.
Good night, Mike.
Yep. You know, Frank Stoneker, when did we have him on? Not last year, but the year before. And he, Osito Orchards, he has that frail mower that he doesn't pick the brush up. He's actually shredding it in the orchard on the ground.
Oh, just as he goes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's what he's doing.
I think that's a great idea.
It'd be interesting to, I'll have to talk to him, see how that's going.
Yeah, we need to check in with Frank up at Osito Orchards. And thanks to Jeff for calling tonight. And we are going to talk about next week early planting and
probably
a little bit of compost.
Yeah.
So everybody's getting excited about that. All right. Hey, I wanted to ask you, what about roses? I mean, everything until the last couple of days, you wanted to get outside and really start to clean up your yard. And what do we do with roses?
Well, you leave them alone.
Leave them alone for now?
Yeah, I even healed them up last year. As a winterizing, you heal them up around the where all the branches come out of the ground off the rootstock. And I even towards the middle or end of this March, I will take that dirt off. I put dirt on them, and then I poured compost on them, and so they've already been fertilized.
Oh boy, so they're happy.
And then I'll prune them. But you prune roses, the hybrid teas or the floribundas. What I want to say, 2 weeks before the last frost.
Okay.
And the reason why you do that is because if you prune them now or too early, they will start to grow and they'll get frozen off. It's as simple as that.
Okay. So just you've got them fed and they're warm and happy.
Yeah. I'm not, I won't touch them. Now, I know some people, if you have really, a lot of growth like last year, and what they'll do is they'll prune them down a little bit in the fall. And they do that because, or you could do it now, but not the final pruning. Just prune it out because if you get a heavy, wet snow, it can break those branches off.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
you
sure.
could prune them a little bit, but it's not the final pruning. I've seen that happen.
All right. And what about Russian sage?
Russian sage.
Flowering bush.
I actually prune to the ground in the fall.
You do?
Yeah.
And in the fall?
I do it in the fall, but there's a reason why I do it in the fall. I have a fence around my garden, and the deer won't eat it. If you prune it, if you say you don't you have it out there and you have a lot of deer coming through, even rabbits, they're hungry this time of year. And if you have pruned off all those stalks and there's no production for it, then they will eat it.
Okay.
You know, it's just... But it's hardy enough, and if you had that kind of protection, then you can go ahead and prune it to the ground.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Hey, 527-486-8 1-866 KVNF now. We'd love to hear from another caller. And what about some of these other flowering bushes, Lance?
Well, we got forsythias, snowball bush, spireas, and... these bloom on last year's growth, just like fruit trees.
Mm, okay.
So you don't, technically they're pruned after bloom. If you need to take out some old branches or some dead branches, you go right ahead and do it. It's not going to hurt anything. Mm. But we were talking earlier, and what you could do with forsythias, I'm not sure about snowball bush and spireas, is you can make them, you sort of want to make them look like they're a water fountain going straight up and spilling over the edges.
That's, you're going to prune it in a way that makes that happen?
Yeah, they're limber enough that they will actually bend this way and that. You know, and again, that's where you don't, if you want to do that, that's where the crossing branches definitely come out.
Okay, so we're kind of pruning ornamentally there for shape.
Yeah, for shape. And
I like that.
Those kind of things you prune to the ground. You, the spirea especially, prune all the way to the base of the plant. New shoots will come up.
Okay.
And if you worked with forsythias, they'll do the same thing. And Most of the snowball bushes are way too big. It's like they've gotten out of control, just like lilacs. So you could prune those pretty hard.
All right. You know, again,
if you developed that and kept on pruning out the old stuff every year, some of the old stuff, the new shoots would come. And those are the ones that are going to bloom the best.
Okay. So again, we're kind of waiting for them to bloom like the lilacs.
Yeah.
And then we go after all of these these plants and make them work.
Yeah. Now you have Buddleia, butterfly bush.
Butterfly bush. Okay.
That's pruned now. Or not. It's still a little early. But you prune that down to one of those joints. And you'll see the two. In fact, we talked about it last week briefly.
Right.
And you'll see the two shoots. They're opposite. There's world, opposite, and alternate. And those are the buds coming off the sides of the there's all
spun
these
spun me on my axis.
there's the buds on the stem, and so opposite is just they're actually opposite sides. World, they just go all the way around here and there, and then alternate is one side, then the next side, then as they go up the stem.
Okay.
So anyways.
Down to the joint.
Yeah, you want to prune above on the buddleias. You want to prune above that joint, maybe 12, 18 inches.
Okay.
And roses, you're going to be, when you do prune the roses, you're going to prune above the bud. And generally speaking, it's the bud going to the outside. That doesn't always work just because there's not one at that height. So,
right.
But you do your best you can. And then you have the blooming spirea. And it's a different type of spirea in the sense that it actually blooms on new wood. So you would prune that down. You could see, and that's all, as the plant gets older, you might leave it, get a little bit bigger. If it's young, you might prune it a little bit harder.
Okay. Well, you've done a great job of describing these plants and where to prune since we're on radio. I want to thank you for
that.
And right now in your garden, you're going to be doing some planting some spring garden and planting some lettuce.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week to talk about early planting.
Early planting.
Getting into compost.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just want to let everybody know that there's an event happening at the Rogers Mesa Community House, and this is happening on Monday, March 13th. Stories from Agricultural Entrepreneurs, and this is going to feature Jeff Schwartz from Big B's Cider and Delicious Orchards, Robbie LaValle from Homestead Meats and the LaValle Ranch, Wendy Mitchell and Bob Isaacson from Avalanche Cheese, Nancy Murphy, Region 10, and Inertial Combustion. So I'm going to give you a website here, Harrison, harrison.topp@rmfu.org, March 13th, which is a Monday at 6 p.m. All right, stay tuned for...
The president's speech coming up. Yeah.
Yep. And we will be back next Tuesday for more gardening and as the worm turns. Thanks for listening to KVNF. Right. Thanks, Lance.
Yeah. Have a good evening. Stay warm.
Yeah.
You're out to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little, low, and low.